Okay, let's unpack this. Today, we're taking a deep dive into the foundational world of vectors and kinematics. Think of this as your essential toolkit, really, for understanding the precise language of movement, force, stability, all that good stuff in our physical world. If you've ever wondered, you know, why a thrown ball follows that exact arc or how a massive bridge stands so firm, these concepts are kind of your shortcut to getting it.
Yeah, and what's truly fascinating here is how these concepts, which can seem a bit abstract at first, they actually provide a universal framework, a framework for understanding nearly everything we observe. They're not just equations on a page. They're the bedrock for describing, well, everything from how a tiny particle moves to, like you said, the stability of huge structures. It really is the grammar of physics. It lets us describe precisely how things move and interact.
The grammar of physics. I like that. That's a powerful way to put it. So let's start with vectors themselves then. We hear the term all the time, but what exactly are they? What makes them so different from just, you know, simple numbers?
Well, think about the difference between knowing your bank balance. There's just a number, right? A scalar quantity. And knowing not just the amount, but also where the money's flowing. Is coming in, going out, from who?
Right.
That direction bit, that makes all the difference. And that's basically a vector. It's got both magnitude, size, and direction.
Okay, magnitude and direction. Got it.
And our source material really dives into how we combine these. The most fundamental thing is adding them up vector addition, or somma di vettores, as some sources call it.
Yeah.
Imagine two forces pushing something, maybe wind hitting a sail from different angles. You need to find the net effect, the overall push. And you can do that visually with things like the parallelogram method.
Parallelogram method. How does that work?
You draw the two vectors starting from the same point, make a parallelogram, and the diagonal starting from that same point. That's your resultant vector.
Yeah.
The sum. Or there's the tail-to-head method, too. Similar idea, just drawing them one after the other. These aren't just math tricks. It's how engineers figure out the total force on that sail, or how physicists predict paths. And breaking a vector down into its components, like its horizontal and vertical parts, that's also absolutely key for tackling complex problems.
Right. Components make it manageable. Okay, so vectors give us direction. But the real magic, I guess, happens when things move, which brings us to kinematics. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do vectors become the sort of GPS of motion?
Precisely. Kinematics is where we apply these vector tools to describe motion, what our sources call kinematic vector quantities. It unlocks so much. Take a position vector. It's not just how far away something is, it's its exact address in space relative to some origin, pinpointing it. And vector velocity is not just speed, it's speed and direction.
Ah, so 60 miles per hour north is totally different from 60 miles per hour east.
Totally different vector velocity. Exactly. And that distinction is vital. Think air traffic control or understanding curvilinear motion, like a satellite orbiting or even just a car going around a bend. Even if the speedometer reads constant, the vector velocity is changing because the direction's changing.
Okay, that makes sense. Direction is constantly changing in a curve.
Right. And then you add instantaneous vector acceleration. Okay. That tells you exactly how the velocity vector itself is changing moment by moment. So with position, velocity, and acceleration vectors, you get the full picture of how anything is moving, no matter how complicated the path.
Wow. Okay. That covers motion. And finally, what about stability? Balance. How do vectors help us understand equilibrium, like that building standing tall?
Oh, equilibrium. Vectors are absolutely critical there. The key insight isn't just that things are balanced. It's that every single force, and critically, every single turning effect caused by those forces, has to perfectly cancel out. Zero net effect. Our sources talk about the conditions of equilibrium for a simple material point, basically, an object staying put. And then the more complex case, equilibrium of a rigid body, like a bridge or a beam. That involves rotations, too.
Rotations, so turning effects.
Exactly. That's where the moment of force comes in, the momento di una forza.
Yeah.
It measures that turning effect. And its size, its magnitude, depends hugely on the force and the arm of the force, the braccio di una forza. Think about using a wrench, right? A longer handle that's a longer arm makes it much easier to turn a stubborn nut. You're maximizing the moment.
Leverage. Got it.
It's all about leverage, precisely. Engineers spend ages calculating these moments using vectors to make sure a bridge doesn't twist or a tower doesn't topple. And the math tools behind this, things like the scalar product and vector product, are essential for calculating these interactions precisely.
So summing it all up, what does this mean for you, listening in?
Well, getting a grip on these core ideas vectors, kinematics, equilibrium, it really gives you a powerful, precise way to see the physical world. It's not just abstract math. It's the language of how everything moves, rests, and holds together.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? It raises this question. Just how much of the engineered world all around us, you know, the buildings we live in, the cars, the planes, how much does it all rely on getting these vector principles exactly right for design and stability? It's pretty much everywhere once you start looking for it.
Absolutely. Food for thought. Keep exploring. Keep questioning. And join us next time for another deep dive.